This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 1, Overall Process Support and Outreach Issue, held on the 19th of September, 2017. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you're only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? Hearing no further names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purpose, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute to avoid any background noise. With this, I'm sorry, was somebody speaking? And with this, I'll turn it back over to our co-chair, Krista Taylor. Please begin.
Thanks. This is Krista Taylor for the record. I'd like to welcome everyone and thank you for joining us. If we can maybe start the slide deck and on the first or the second slide. And I'll ask if anyone has any updates to their SOI, and if so, if they could let us know now. Hearing no one and seeing no hands, as you can see from the agenda, we have CC2 review. We're continuing, and the topic for tonight is the Registry Service Provider Accreditation Program. This is fairly lengthy, and we expect that additional time will be required, and we have this also scheduled for the October 3rd meeting to continue the discussion if we don't finish it off this evening. Are there any other items that we should add to the agenda? I don't see any hands or any typing. So if anything should arrive during the call, we can also add it at the end in the AOB. So I'd like to, I guess, jump right into our first topic and our first section on the RSP accreditation program. And Sarah, I'll let you kick us off. Sarah?
Great. Thank you, Krista. This is Sarah Bakke for the record. So I thought it would be good to start off with the discussions that we've had to date and some potential recommendations that we might want to, or to date that we have considered for the RSP accreditation program. It should be noted that we're going to be determining the policy work in light of a parallel GDD RSP program, and we'll need to time these recommendations in relation to that program. One question that has been raised during this review was the repetitive, resource-intensive technical evaluation and pre-delegation testing and interpretation of the rules a form of application rather than the fault of the rules themselves? So that is something that we should keep in mind when we're looking at all of this information and trying to determine the best way to go forward. It has been noted that efficiencies in evaluation and pre-delegation of ICANN applicants and RSPs must be improved. The evaluation and pre-delegation testing must be consistent, predictable, and to the extent possible, objective. It's also been noted that the RSP program should be designed in such a manner as not to increase ICANN's liability. Applicants must have access to a list of registry service providers and a list of functional areas that they have been approved for. Pre-approval should be done in a way that takes into account the capacity of the said RSP, the type of TLD supported, and the services provided. And applicants must be required, must not be required to select a pre-approved RSP. But be able to either propose providing their own registry service or select an RSP. And costs associated with evaluation and testing should be borne by the registry service provider as opposed to an applicant where the applicant and the registry service provider are not the same. So that sort of was a highlight of the discussions that we've had to date, some potential recommendations, directions of the conversations that we've had. So if we move to the next slide, slide 4, you can see the first question that we put towards the community was regarding benefits and risks identified by the working group, provided in the context that was part of this presentation to the community. And we asked what additional benefits or risks did they see in implementing such a program as an RSP accreditation, and if there were other considerations that needed to be taken into consideration. So I'm going to pause right here just to see if there's any hands or chat in the chat box. All right. So we got a lot of feedback on this question, and so we have sort of broken the feedback down into batches of similar topics. So this first one was support for the concept of an RSP program and its potential benefit. As noted from CIRA, the establishment of a registered service certification program has the potential to significantly improve the participation in any subsequent new GTLP process, and we strongly support it. They noted that such an approach would increase competition among RSPs, thereby encouraging efficiency, stimulating innovation, disciplining prices, and providing much-needed transparency and clarity to potential applicants on what registry costs will be. They also noted that there is also a reduced overall program costs for ICANN and applicants, as it would obviate need for an RSP to be certified multiple times. We also had some feedback from Google, who agreed that the overall inefficiencies in evaluation and testing procedures, as well as the application system, created undue work and financial burden for multiple TLD applicants and registry service providers, and that they generally support the proposal to create an RSP accreditation program to improve efficiency for RSPs and applicants alike, but disagree with the notion that such a program would create a race to the bottom. Beyond operational efficiencies, they believe that an RSP accreditation program would help bring competition to the market for providing registry services, for providing registry services by providing a well-defined path into the business for potential RSPs, and at the same time providing greater certainty for registry operators that a given RSP will be accepted by ICANN. I'm going to pause here to see if there's any hands or chat. I see a hand by Jonathan. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Krista. I just one comment on this. I'm just wondering why, if it doesn't seem to me that there's any evidence of an issue regarding competition with respect to these. I don't know what evidence we have that there is any lack of competition or any shortage of opportunities for registry operators to choose between RSPs in the market, and in any event, whether that's a sort of mandate for this group. It seems to me that the mandate is to introduce overall competition choice in the market for GTLDs. But I'm not aware of anywhere which says that our mandate is to introduce competition and choice in RSPs, and B, whether there's any evidence that there is a problem. So I just wonder whether the points by these two on competition is relevant at all. That's what I would question, whether we need to even be considering that. And it is clear from these points and others that there is an opportunity, and there seems to be a widespread concern over the inefficiencies of testing. So I think that's something that I would strongly support, is that one way or another, whether it's through a registry service provider program or otherwise, seeking methods to improve efficiencies in the evaluation is a very valuable potential improvement in future rounds of GTLDs. Thanks, Krista.
Thank you, John, for that feedback. That's helpful. Does anyone else have any additional comments they'd like to make here before we move on? Okay. So I will go to the next slide, slide five. As noted here, the VRG supports the concept of a registry service provider program, which can remove unnecessary duplication, improve predictability, streamline the process, and reduce time through post-application to delegation. However, the criteria must be set at the appropriate levels and administered in a manner that does not include risks to security and stability or create a barrier to new entrants or competition. As also noted by the registries, they support the notion for the purposes of providing efficiencies for applicants and ICANN in the future new GTLD rounds, and that there is value in establishing a pre-approval process for registry service providers independent of the next GTLD application process, but they do not believe the standards for providing registry services should change as part of the pre-approval process. They noted a key risk to dealing with or mitigating is the potential race to the bottom identified in the in the context, being able to operate at a minimum level is a useful test to subject service providers, but it does not certifier guarantee that an operator will be able to continue to operate efficiently regardless of domains under management or other changes in circumstances or environment. They feel that the focus of any such pre-approval process should be for ICANN to ensure that a minimum standard for operation is set consistent with that set the 2012 new GTLD round, and should not necessarily be construed or communicated in a way to be a certification or accreditation by ICANN. Donna, these comments from the registry stakeholder group. We continue on to the next slide. You'll see then. Jonathan, I see your hand is up again. Please go.
Refer to Donna first, who hasn't spoken before, and then I'll come in after Donna if she hasn't covered.
Okay. Sure, Donna.
Thanks,
Jonathan.
Thanks, Sarah. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. I just wanted to make a point here about, we've discussed previously the challenges that we have in the terminology that we're using when we talk about the RSP accreditation program. And I think the important thing, certainly in the first dot point from the registry stakeholder group, is that we're talking about a pre-approval process rather than any type of accreditation program. So I just wanted to highlight that, we know that there are sensitivities around the terminology that we use when we have these discussions, and it provokes all sorts of different reactions. But I just wanted to make the point that, from the registry stakeholder group perspective, this is about mostly about a pre-approval process and not something that has a longevity, I suppose, as any kind of accreditation program. So I just wanted to make that point. Thanks, Sarah.
Sure, and thank you, Donna. And yes, that's a very good point. And I will apologize for just using the title from the topics that we got at the very beginning of this process. And so, as Jeff noted, that we should forever change the term frugal. And so, Krista and I will make a note to make sure we do not use the wrong terminology going forward. And I do apologize. Jonathan, would you like to go ahead, please?
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. I'll be brief, but yes, I agree with the point that Donna just made and also endorsed by Jeff, that that's a more useful form of terminology. And also, I'm not sure who selected this bold text, whether that was indeed in the original registry stakeholder submission. But, you know, I'd like to endorse that, particularly at second part, where we're talking about setting a minimum standard of operation and importantly focusing on a way that somehow this needs to be communicated in such a way that it achieves an efficiency of process without allowing or permitting that applicants or participants can then go out and into the market and say, look, we are certified or accredited, because clearly setting a minimum standard for operations such that registry operators can go ahead with confidence in their applications, which seems to me to have been the key concern in the previous round, that applicants may not have had confidence that their selected registry service provider would indeed meet the acceptable minimum standard. But this should not be seen as setting a sort of high market standard or a accreditation by ICANN, rather simply that the prospective registry service provider meets the minimum standard. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Jonathan. And very good point. And the highlighting of the text was actually staff helping us to sort of point out and highlight certain areas. So we apologize if that's causing confusion.
Sarah, just to come back in again, Jonathan, on the contrary, I think your highlighting was helpful. I just wasn't sure if it was part of the original submission or not, or whether. So thank you for doing that. It's fine.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, it was misunderstanding. So yeah, no, that was not part of the what was submitted. It's just sort of bring out points that were made in the comments. Okay, so moving on to the next slide, which is on page 6. The registry stakeholder group went on to say that ICANN could readily improve efficiency by improving operations and not repeat testing registry service providers for exactly the same function across multiple registry operators. Such an approach likely would be far more fruitful and introducing a new form of contracted party via certification or accreditation. And finally, they noted it would be beneficial to review the process used by ICANN to test or establish the technical capacity of applicants in the 2012 round of new GTLDs, given that, to our knowledge, no applicant, and by extension, no RSP, was deemed to fail the evaluation of the technical aspect of the application, including PDT, that since the delegation of more than 1,000 TLDs has not seen an emergency transition, it is reasonable to conclude that the design of the technical component of the application is adequate and as such is a good starting point for an RSP pre-approval process. Donna, I see your hand is raised. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Sarah. I just wanted to address something that most folks are aware of, but in the context of when we put these comments together from the registry stakeholder group, the data that ICANN has since come out with about the, Evero breaches wasn't available at the time we did the initial draft of this, so we didn't have time to address that in these comments. The registry RSP discussion group has recently got some additional information from Francisco that goes to, possible causes of the potential breaches or, the breaches of the Evero threshold. And we're currently working through that at the moment to better understand where the, what were the problems and potentially a way to, use the monitoring to try to resolve those problems. So I just wanted to make the point that there is data available now, which suggests that, what we've stated in this point is not accurate. And we're aware of that, and we are working through that with the RYSG, the Registry Stakeholder Group, RSP Discussion Group. Thanks, Sarah.
Great. Thank you, Donna, for that clarification. It's appreciated. I see that Sarah L. with VeriSign has made a comment in the chat saying pre-approval of an RSP without making commensurate changes to the test case during PDT might not improve performance at all if you take ICANN's data into account detailing the number of Evero triggering incidences that are occurring. Okay, does anyone else have a question before we move on? Okay, going to slide 7. There were some benefits that were put forward by a number of people, and they are highlighted here. First, it was noted the primary purpose and benefit of an RSP program would be to increase efficiency in the TLD application evaluation and PDT process by limiting the need for multiple submissions and evaluations of the same technical answers and multiple PDTs for the same RSP. It was noted that it would speed up the overall process time for an application by moving evaluation and PDT testing to before the application window opens, and by likely reducing the number of clarifying questions. 3, by eliminating the multiple evaluations of PDTs at the same RSP, it would, by definition, remove inconsistencies among results for the same RSP, as was experienced in the 2012 round. It was also noted that it would increase predictability for both applicants and RSPs. It would allow applicants to know prior to the submission of their TLD application that their chosen RSP would meet ICANN's technical criteria, and the RSP would be able to offer the same assurance to potential clients when seeking their business. It was noted by increasing efficiency of evaluations, it should naturally lead to lower application costs. And finally, a proper designed approval process could also remedy flaws in the evaluation process by testing the ability of the RSPs to scale. And that was noted by Valadeus. So once again, I will pause here to see if anyone has any comments on the potential benefits of a pre-approval process or accreditation program as it's noted on the slide. Okay, seeing no comments in the chat, no hands raised, we'll go on to slide 8, and I will let Krista step in here.
Thanks, Sarah. So on slide 8, we're discussing some of the challenges on the pre-approval program. I guess the top 3 from Valadeus.
where it could lead to a race to the bottom in technical standards, and it's not clear why setting minimum standards would stifle innovation or threaten security and stability. Second comment by Valadeus says it could lead to an overall degradation of standards, and it's built into the misconception that the RSP program is somehow looking to change the current 2012 round technical standards. It is not. And thirdly, the RSP program would create a contractual relationship between ICANN and RSPs, thus creating a new set of contracted parties within ICANN. To be clear, it does not follow that an RSP program would require such a new contractual relationship between ICANN and RSPs, and we do not agree that one should be created. So those are the three from Valadeus. Next, we have a comment from the BC that suggests creating a certification program, and it would be audited on a regular basis and should include auditable information on security measures and scalability capacity of the RSP. Next, we have the NCSG, where we strongly believe in the accreditation processes for the registry service providers. Moving to slide 9, and Jeff comments he did not have a role in drafting the comments for Valadeus, but those were not challenges, but rather statements addressing the challenges raised by others. Slide number 9, the background on this is support for a lighter touch regulatory regime for establishing providers. Support for any RSP program would be conditional on the outcomes. So Nominet has a pretty lengthy comment here, and I'm just going to go over kind of some of the highlights. Having experienced the firsthand, the multiple repetitive testing was unnecessary delays or caused unnecessary delays, cost, and operational bottlenecks. It created lengthy and complicated processes and, in fact, reduced choice and competition. We therefore see the benefits of having a lighter touch regulatory regime for establishing providers with exemplary track record. And then they go on further to say our support for such scheme would be conditional on the outcomes of such a scheme would actually reduce red tape and streamline the current processes. And additionally, that the accreditation should be optional and not mandatory. Moving on to slide 10, the theme here is opposition to establishing an accreditation or pre-approval program at this time, and recommendations for alternative mechanisms to create process efficiencies. The first one is from Jim Prendergast, saying that the RSP for the 2012 round continue to have challenges meeting the existing SLAs in the registry agreement, and it proves that even once a RSP is quote-unquote approved or accredited by ICANN, issues do arise, and that necessitates ongoing testing by ICANN. But we still need to find efficiencies and finding a way to ease the switching of back and providers. And sorry, one other going back is eliminating the repetitive testing of identical registry setups. We then have a comment from Aphilius. Again, similar theory on creating efficiencies. And it's vastly different than providing an accreditation program and reducing the duplication of work. And Aphilius goes on to say they do not believe that this is the first new expanded round is sufficient to establish a foundation for a minimum level of service that should automatically apply to all subsequent TLDs. Just kind of read the comments here quickly if I can tie them in. Some comments around accreditation and certification, and there was a long discussion on that, and some of the background, I guess, on it was, and we're talking real subtle differences here, with accreditation means you go through a certain kind of testing, I believe, at that time. Oh, Jeff's already commented. Accreditation generally means that based on your application, you are approved to perform certain services in the future. And Jonathan suggests that there's an earlier comment that an approval process could test the ability to scale. There's no evidence provided for the fact that this could be done effectively. Such a process goes beyond setting a minimum standard and potentially confers authority to the tester, ICANN, for performance testing beyond minimum standards. Later on, you're going to see some comments that kind of tie that in to the feedback, and they actually deal with more around the domains under management rather than, say, the number of TLDs, in case that helps. Jeff goes and defines certification as a process that evaluates performance and certifies that you have met performance standards based on past behavior. I'm going to continue on so I don't, so we can, keep going with the flow here. So, I think we're now on slide 11. And we are actually dealing here with a comment, two of them here, the first one is from Aphilius, saying that the review, same sentiment as before, and so the review team could then evaluate whether or not the current application had essential differences that needed additional technical testing, rather than blindly assuming it was required. And that's referring to doing the same technical test over and over again. And Yannick Scholes suggests that to allow for applicants to request that their application, in case they have more than one, be evaluated in one work stream, i.e. if they're all the same RSPs. And this ties back into the costing that we discussed a few weeks ago on a discount in application fees. Then we have the theme on doubt expressed regarding the value of ongoing expansion in new GTLD, the issue of relatively little importance to internet users. And this is from the ALAC saying it's generally dubious of the value of ongoing expansion in GTLDs and exerts a negative effect on internet users, which is relatively little importance to the internet users. So that's all of our first question, and we apologize. It is a pretty lengthy one, so we'll stop here and give everyone time to ask or suggest or add any comments. And if not, I'll turn it to back to Sarah to do our next question. Sarah?
Thank you, Krista. So I'm not seeing any hands or chat. We'll move on to slide 12. And here you can see the second question that we put towards Trinity was, if an RSP program is established for new GTLDs, do you have any suggestions for some of the details or requirements of the program? For instance, how would the scalability of the RSP be measured across variable numbers of registries? Again, we've broken this down into topics, sort of grouped the different similar comments together, the first being feedback on the issue of scalability. So from Sierra, we would support keeping the relevant criteria, the evaluation criteria, as close to as possible to the original testing requirements to ensure a level playing field of potential players, which would suggest not adding additional elements for scalability. Nominet stated any RSP program should pre-certify service providers' capacity to handle a certain number or tiers of new GTLDs with a ceiling to the number of domains under management. This assessment would be based on the RSP's infrastructure, management track record, financial stability, and resources. BC noted that this would require the certification be audited on a regular basis and should include auditable information on security measures and scalability capacity of the RSP. Jonathan, I see you just raised your hand. Go ahead, please.
Thanks. It's hard to make sense of these because as you go through them, they pull in different directions. I mean, I would add support for a program that again creates the, I guess along the lines of what Sierra had, is not adding additional scalability. I think it's very tempting to go down the route that Nominette suggested, which starts to look at scalability, and I can see why they, as a relatively large service provider, might seek to have that threshold. But I think here we're talking about really setting something, a minimum standard, so that applicants can be confident and not dragging ICANN into some form of predetermination of applicants or of registry service providers' ability to provide certain qualities of service. That I think is very different to evaluating live operating TLDs for compliance and performance in line with whatever the standards that have been set. But I think that's an entirely different question to the work that's being proposed here, which is simply setting a threshold that such that applicants can be confident of their application passing through. So I think I would favour the performance issues being determined A, by the market performance of the various registry service providers, and B, by ICANN's or by the sort of compliance efforts for live operating TLDs. Thanks.
Thank you, Jonathan. That's very helpful. I think staff has noted that those comments that you've made. Donna, I see you raised your hand as well. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. Donna Austin. I just want to pick up on the point raised by Validaeus that from a process point of view, at the time of seeking pre-approval, an RSP could state that its system can scale up to X number of TLDs, which could be based on estimated demand. So Rubens may have more insight into this, Rubens and Cheryl, because of the work they're doing in WorkTrack 4, but I would think that it's at the time that an RSP is looking to seek pre-approval, they are going to have to identify what their system is and what the capacity is and how they would, what their redundancies are, whatever. So I would expect that at the time they're seeking pre-approval, they are going to paint a relatively good picture of what their system looks like and what their capacity would be, where they, put in all the bells and whistles to ensure that they can scale. So I think that's probably an important point in this discussion, is that at the time, how you develop the questions for what the pre-approval process would look like. One would assume that any RSP is going to provide a pretty good picture of what their system looks like and what their capacity is at that time. And I think to Jonathan's point, the separation for how that plays out over time is actually through the compliance and the monitoring that ICANN is currently doing, of the RSPs, but, is being done in terms of looking at those breaches or potential threshold breaches to Evero. I hope that makes sense, Sarah. Thanks.
Yes, it does. Thank you, Donna. I see there are a few more comments in the chat as well. Rubens has noted scalability problems could be number of TLDs, number of DUMs, or number of peak transactions. Usually the latter is the one that hits more frequently. And Jeff has also noted that they also need to provide supporting documentation to show evidence of their scalability, so it would not be affirmatively making that assertion, but demonstrating their ability. I see Rubens is typing again. While he's doing that, I'll go ahead and finish up the other comments on this slide. As noted from Google, they believe a better approach would be to identify service-level expectations related to scalability and have a mechanism for notifying the registry and potentially initiating additional tests once the platform reaches an identified threshold. And then from the BRG, they noted that as a single RSP grows in terms of the number of the registries it supports and or the results of significant growth within those registries, these aggregate changes should also trigger a reassessment, as this may create additional risks, particularly as a single point of failure. And I see in the chat, Rubens made another comment that there is one small technical function that is linked to the number of TLDs in DNSSEC that it's usually to hit, but it's unusual to hit such a problem. Jonathan, I see your hand is raised again. Please go ahead.
One brief point, and I apologize if this seems slightly repetitive, but it's, I think the temptation is, particularly if you represent a registry service provider that handles large volumes successfully already, the temptation is to try and guess that there would be the high thresholds set in place. But it strikes me that the entire purpose of any sort of pre-approval is simply to set this minimum threshold to give confidence to applicants. And then to the extent that performance issues, I mean, I'm all for ongoing performance monitoring and compliance, but I think if we put too many barriers up front, we create a regime and a potential set of hurdles to cross, which A, make it are difficult to prove up front, and B, potentially put barriers to entry that are not appropriate, given that it's our experience with the 2012 program, it's very difficult to predict the success of any given registry in terms of volumes or performance. So I'd be in favor of setting this some form of clear minimum standard to give confidence to applicants so that the process can proceed smoothly and efficiently, and then make effective monitoring of live operation. Thanks.
Thank you, Jonathan. Again, excellent points to be raised. I also see that there's a comment from Rubens in the chat saying that the more features of a registry system ICANN evaluates, the more liability it creates. Such infrastructure doesn't deliver on that promise. And Jonathan has agreed with Rubens. Okay, going on to the next slide, slide 12. It continues on in the discussion of this right. One long slide. Apologies. Okay. Slide 13. Okay. So we continue on with the feedback that we received. From Ophelius, it was noted that with respect to measuring scalability, there is no single test for measuring the scalability of an RSP. On the one hand, all RSPs could be scaled since they are limited only by the amount of investment they make or are willing to make in actual infrastructure and experience they have in operating a large infrastructure. And on the other hand, this past round of applications has empirically shown that not all registries require the same infrastructure to succeed. This is sort of reiterating what Jonathan has just told us. An application review team should consider the scalability needs of each application on its own merits and apply testing accordingly. Similarly, the operational experience of existing RSPs through the mandatory testing already provided to ICANN could be summarized and more conveniently made available to the internet community, especially registry operators, to assist in the evaluation of potential registry service providers. Jonathan, I see your hand is raised. Go ahead, please. And your hand is down. Okay. I will continue on then. We had a comment from the registry stakeholder group that noted that the ability of an RSP to scale a number of TLDs or domains under management is difficult to assess in any pre-approval process. They noted that this is not currently done for the RSPs supporting the 2012 round of new gTLDs. Nor is there any data or evidence after a number of years of operation to suggest that the ability of an RSP to scale is problematic. The registry stakeholder group is actively engaged in discussions with GDD staff on this issue, and we recommend that the PDP working group defer to the work of this group. And then from Validaeus, they stated that from a process point of view, at the time of seeking pre-approval, an RSP could state that its system can scale for up to X number of TLDs, which could be based on estimated demand, and they could then be evaluated, tested, and pre-approved based on this number. If they subsequently wish to scale for a higher number of TLDs, then this would warrant an additional test by ICANN. Looking at the chat, I see that Rubens has noted, and since new gTLDs are not getting the gigantic registry volumes once foreseen, scalability concerns seem overzealous at this point. And Donna has noted, good point, Rubens, and also highlights the difficulties associated with predicting registration volumes. Going on to the next slide, slide 14. We received some feedback on other possible program elements. One, allowing applicants to select a certified RSP once the application is approved. Allowing accredited RSPs to have their own version of eBRO and remove this element from the RA for accredited RSPs. Leverage qualifying criteria in PDP from the 2012 round and lower thresholds for certain TLD types, and four, have an initiative to strengthen the technical and knowledge capacity of RSPs, especially for undeveloped economies. Further, Sierra noted that one specific suggestion is to allow divorcing the application process from the requirement to have a specific RSP identified in your application. Applicants would have the option to select a certified RSP only in the event that their application is approved. This reduces the workload on potential RSPs not needing to be involved with applications which they may never be awarded, and allows applicants to have a more certain business case to present to potential RSP providers when seeking their services. We also had feedback from Dennis, who stated that they would suggest approved RSPs have their own version of eBarrow, and that their pre-validation process accreditation, and remove that as part of the registry agreement altogether if a known or pre-validated registry service provider was to use it. And finally, on this slide, we have that ICANN should leverage the qualifying criteria and pre-delegation testing used in 2012 round, combined with the output of any subsequent reviews undertaken and lessons learned. Excuse me. Let me take a drink. So finally, our last slide on this question, on slide 15, we had some feedback from both the BRG and from ALAC. BRG noted that an understanding and appreciation of different models should also be considered to determine different thresholds that can be applied for. For instance, new models that do not depend on selling or distributing domain names to third parties may have lower thresholds applied, particularly where domains are controlled by the registry operator and their affiliates. And then ALAC noted that benefits could be achieved by the proposed program to develop and enhance the technical and knowledge capacities of the RSPs, especially for underdeveloped economies. Training and preparedness, even for the pre-approval and the pre-delegation testing, must be a prerequisite level of entry for entrance as RSPs from underdeveloped economies consider such a venture. And having an external regulatory body would also ensure that RSPs in developing regions especially meet the minimum standards for redundancy, capacity, monitoring, reaction time to threats, reporting, and statistical process controls. They noted that in developed regions, monitoring and support to ensure that these standards are maintained by a regional regulatory body, perhaps under the auspices of ICANN, to regulate the performance of new RSPs and ensuring consistently high levels of technical and government processes. So I'm going to pause here. And Jonathan, I see you've raised your hand, so please go ahead.
Just a comment that I think, you know, I've picked up on the BRG point here, and BRG sort of talks about different thresholds. I'd be loath to draw ICANN into setting a whole lot of different thresholds. I think setting a standard that ensures, given ICANN's mandate on security and stability, setting a standard that ensures confidence that a minimum threshold has been set for security and stability, and thereafter ensuring that regardless of whether it's a small volume brand or a high volume mass market TLD, the registry operator and therefore its registry service provider performs according to standards is a more effective way of doing this. In other words, deal with what you can up front and limit ICANN's exposure to somehow predetermining whether or not this registry is going to perform by setting the minimum standard and thereafter, as I've said before, maintaining a vigilant compliance with SLAs and so on. And I think that would be consistent with what the BRG seems to be wanting here, which is essentially not creating significant barriers to getting brand TLDs out in the market. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Jonathan. I note that we're getting close to the top of the hour. Krista, would you like to cover the next slide? I think it's slide 16 is just one page on our question 3 that we put to the community. Or do you want to hold that for next time?
It's one page, and I think it should be fairly fast.
So I'll do it, and if we need to open it again for the next call, we can. So I'll jump in. So on slide 16, we have the 1.1.3 question. Who should be responsible for evaluating whether RSP meets the requirements of the program? We have one comment from Nominate that says ICANN should be responsible. Then we have several comments on the support for continuing to use the same model from the 2012 round. We have Ophelia saying that they're satisfied with the current program. We have the registry stakeholder group saying there's nothing to suggest that it needs to change. We have Validea saying there's no reason why we should change, similar thing. And then we have support using the same provider for testing associated with the RSP program and application evaluation. One from the brand registry group saying that use the same provider for performing both the technical evaluation of a GTLD application and determining if RSP meets the program requirements. So stop here to read any comments if anyone has it on there. And as mentioned earlier, we are going to continue on this conversation on our next call, so we can take any other feedback, and hopefully we can get some of the other information and incorporate it going forward. So with a minute left, Sarah, I'll turn it back to you so you can wrap us up.
Okay, great. Thank you, Krista. I don't think we had any other business, I will note that our next call will be on October 3rd at, I believe, 1500 UTC. And I want to thank all of you for joining us, whatever time zone that you are in, and thank you so much for all your valuable input that you've given us. We've gotten some really good feedback, I think, this evening. Donna, I see you've raised your hand, so please go ahead.
Thanks, Erin. I don't want to hold people up, but I just want to highlight a comment by Ophelius that the ICANN compliance team should also be involved to confirm that all the existing RSPs are meeting existing contractual requirements. I'd like to discuss that a little bit further because I'm a bit concerned about that statement because RSPs don't have a contractual relationship with ICANN, so I'd like to flag that as something that maybe we need to have a little bit more of discussion about. Thanks.
Thank you, Donna, and we'll make sure that we have a note on that and bring it up during our next call. If no one else has any comments, I see Jonathan is typing in the chat. I'll give him 1 minute to complete.
Expediency here. I think, Donna, just to help there, we can pick this up on the next call, but my sense is that that's really about ensuring that existing TLDs or existing registries are meeting existing contractual requirements. I don't think it's meant to RSPs into the contractual net. I don't think that was the intention of the comment. So, but we can pick that up if there is an ongoing concern about that. Thanks.
Great. Thank you so much, Jonathan. And with that, we are 2 past the top of the hour, so I will let everyone go. Thank you again for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you on our next call on October 3rd. Thank you all, and you can end the recording.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lights and have a wonderful rest of your day.